Thank you, choir, so much. That was wonderful. Ellie and I would like to take the opportunity of thanking you for remembering us in prayer while we were away. I didn't hear from Pastor Dave, so I knew everything was going well. And no one passed away while we were down in Florida this year. Now, halfway through the seventh decade of my life, there's still nothing greater than the preaching of God's Word. While I was in Florida, I got a call if I would preach Sunday morning. They followed that up and asked if I would preach Sunday evening. That Sunday morning, we had a wonderful response. We just praised the Lord. A number of people raised their hands for dedication. And then they asked me to come back again. And we had the privilege of sharing God's Word with the people there. So we certainly appreciate your prayers and what God did among all of us. Now I'm going to ask, as we are led now to the foot of the cross, that we just allow our minds to think upon the message entitled in the bulletin, The Great Discovery at Easter. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. May we hear your voice, Lord, as we wait on thee. Quiet our hearts to listen intentively. I pray, Lord, that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will take your Bibles and turn with me to St. Luke chapter 24. Our text this morning is found in the words of verses 2 and 3. A very interesting statement by St. Luke. We read in verse 2, "And they found the stone rolled from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." As I was reading the Apostle Luke's account of the Easter message, one fundamental truth stood out above all others. And it was this, and I would encourage you to take the outline and write it down. You ought to put it in your Bible. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was not something that those early disciples fabricated in their imagination. But it was something they found through their investigation. Let me repeat that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was not something those early disciples fabricated through their imagination, but something they found through their investigation. We ought to get it down this morning for the record. They did not invent it. It was not an idea they hatched in their own minds. It was something they discovered. It was something they found. Now listen again to Luke's twice repeated words from our text. They found the stone rolled away. They found not the body of Jesus Christ, or of the Lord Jesus. Now, in this critical hour in which we live, the tragedy continues to be that though Easter, the Easter message, is almost 2,000 years old, the vast majority of people living today have never discovered its truth about the living Christ who defeated sin and conquered death. Millions of people have never found the exhilarating truth, that liberation that we can have from sin, and the glorious hope that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's true of you, where you're sitting. Oh, you know about Christ. You know that he lived, but you know only about Christ. And there's many people living today, and that's where they find themselves. And I'm really concerned with some of you that I really don't know where some of you stand spiritually speaking. If you were to die today, I do not know in my heart that you have the assurance that you would go to heaven. You have a head knowledge, but not a heart experience. Oh, you believe all of the facts about Christ, but you have never come to the place in your life where you have literally put your faith in Christ. And I want to tell you, there's a big difference. And the difference is between going to heaven and going to hell. What would ever happen on this Sunday in this church if someone, you would make the greatest discovery of a lifetime? And not only discovering what you are, but who he is and what happened to him. The same discovery that those fearful and faithful women found on that first Easter so many years ago. And that raises the question, what did they discover? Well, let's look at that, and let me try to give you an answer. To begin with, according to St. Luke, they found a stone. You ought to get that down in your notes. They found a stone that was removed. Now think again on the words in verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. St. Mark, in his account, gives us a more descriptive, detailed account. In Mark chapter 16, verse 4, we read, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, history seems to conclude that the tomb which held the body of Jesus was cut out of a hillside. I want you to note that tombs like this in and around Palestine and Jerusalem were very prevalent. Now, at the burial of Jesus, a large wheel-shaped stone was placed at the opening of the tomb by the soldiers. And here we find this little company of women. They're making their way to the tomb in order to anoint the body of Jesus. And they begin thinking about this problem, this gigantic stone, and how it was going to be removed. How were they going to push back the sealed stone and get into the tomb to anoint with tender care the body of Jesus? That huge stone which the Roman government sealed tight so that no one could get out and no one could get in. And it troubled Mary Magdalene and the other disciples. As a matter of fact, she says, it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? That were what happened to be their thoughts as they were making their way to the gravesite. And then they found the discovery of a lifetime. Praise be to God that even while they thought about the difficulty, the seal was broken, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb door was wide open for them to enter. And what a discovery. And notice what the text says, they found. What they feared never materialized. The power of God changed an impossible situation into an amazing miracle. Have you ever thought this morning what the significance of that sealed stone against that gravesite has for each and every one of us? Well, first of all, there is a prophetic truth here, and we should never forget it. The same God who rolled away that stone that covered that tomb is one day going to move away the stones on all of the graves of our loved ones. And we need to keep that in mind. They shall forever be uncovered. This is God's Easter promise to each and every one of us, the sure pledge that he has made to those of us who have accepted his Son to be our Savior from sin. And that day, all of the hidden mysteries of this life will be unveiled and explained, And the Bible tells us that Christ is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that's the hope that God gives to each and every one of us. As I look at some of the faces this morning, I know what some of you have gone through in recent years. And you presently you might be shedding an endless rain of tears over the death of a loved one. But I just want to assure you that one day that tombstone will be removed, the grave will be open, and your loved ones will come forth in resurrection glory. And they're going to be removed. Christ spoke of this new day that's coming. Remember his words over there in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you die, and if the Lord tarries, you will, do you fully expect that next conscious voice that you're going to hear will be Jesus welcoming you into his kingdom? Well, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have that wonderful hope. And every one of us here this morning, if we know Christ, we close our eyes in death and we wake up in glory. Let me share with you the testimony of one who believed that convincingly. You know his name. His name is D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of past years. He said this, and he wasn't overstating it. I quote, he said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, and that is all. Out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now that was Moody's expression of his Easter faith. Now give ear to his actual experience as he faced death. He declared, and I quote, earth recedes, heaven opens before me, it's beautiful, it's like a trance. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. And there you have a man, a Christian, who went to his grave with the unshakable conviction that Jesus Christ has made it possible for you and I to face up to the reality of death, but the finality of victory over death. He made a discovery, a prophetic discovery. Now, we aren't always going to live. If the Lord tarries, all of us are going to die. And the question arises, where are you going to spend eternity? Now, it's about time that some of us really got serious on this issue. There's nothing more horrendous than to have a funeral without knowing where someone is going to go. And you can know. And that stone that was rolled away was just a prophetic picture of what's going to happen when Christ comes again and those graves are going to be opened out there in the cemetery. But also there is a practical truth here. You and I, every day of our lives, are facing huge stones. And sometimes we don't know what to do with them. And the huge stone, which seems so impossible to remove, declares to us that God can take the difficulties that you and I are presently going through today or tomorrow. All of these difficulties and he can turn them into doors. He can open up the way for you to go through. Whatever your problem, it might be disease, it might be disappointment, it might be despair. You could be even on the verge of divorce. But whatever it might be, the difficulty can be turned into a door if you allow God to enter and give you victory. And in the risen Jesus, God is letting us know that our trials, whatever form they may take, can be turned into triumphs if we come to the place where we are willing to surrender our lives totally to Him. And we all have problems. And God is trying to tell us this morning that He's the God that raised up Jesus from the dead. And one day He will reveal to us the reason why these huge stones have been put in our way as we walk through life. We don't have all of the reasons now. There are some people that constantly seem to be under the shadow of pain and suffering. And no doubt they're asking why. Well, that's a mystery. We don't understand the mystery of suffering. But we know one day Christ is going to give the answer. He's going to explain why, what you're going through. Remember the words of Paul to the church at Corinth when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known." What God is asking for each and every one of us today is that we will have the patience to realize that He's sovereign, He's in control, and one day He's going to explain why. What did those women of the morning find that first Easter Sunday? They found that a stone was removed. And prophetically, that's going to happen one day to all of our loved ones and friends. That's the hope that God has given to us in Christ. But let's go on. Secondly, this company of women not only discovered a stone that was removed, but they found a sepulcher that was empty. And you might want to write that down. A sepulcher that was empty. Luke writes about it in verse 3. It says, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now Matthew gives us a glorious and superb past tense of this event in Matthew chapter 28 verse 6. It says, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Christ was dead. But today He is alive. And before we can say Christ alive, we've got to say Christ is dead on Good Friday. And then came Easter Sunday. And then we can shout Christ is alive. Now there is something very interesting here that is often overlooked by many. The caskets that we place in our cemeteries contain the bodies of those we hold dear. And we honor and we respect those graves because of what they contain, the remains of our loved ones and friends. As a matter of fact, every time I walk through the cemetery, there's a sacredness about it. Because I know what one day is going to happen. The body of President Kennedy lies buried in Arlington Cemetery. And you and I know that each day hundreds of people visit his gravesite. They stand in reverence and quietness before his grave in remembrance of his sacrificial service to this country. And they come by the hundreds, day in and day out. Now compare that to the cemetery of Jesus. We go to Jerusalem, people flock there, thousands of people visit there each year. And they stand in awe, not because of the body that it contains, but because of the body that it doesn't contain. And by the thousands they come. And they stand in awe and respect and reverence. Because Christ is not there. The sepulcher is empty. Now, the empty tomb is an established fact which the Christian church was built upon from its very existence. And you and I need to realize that the cornerstone of the Christian faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that makes it distinct from all other religions. They all had their founders. They lived and they died. Jesus, he lived and he died and he lives. And that's the very heart of Christianity. It is a fact that was firmly established by a host of men and women from Jerusalem, numbering not less than 500 at one time. Christ made many appearances after his resurrection. Now, there's much about the physical resurrection of Jesus that we don't understand. And we won't until we get to heaven. About his body, there are many questions we have regarding his resurrection body. We don't know the exact form in which he revealed himself after his death. But there are some things that we know. According to St. Luke chapter 24, Jesus in his glorified body, he ate fish and bread with his disciples. According to John 20, we find that Jesus moved into the midst of those disciples, though the windows and doors were shut. We find in his post-resurrection appearances that Jesus was no longer hindered by material obstacles or subject to the laws of nature. And yet there's still mystery there that you and I will never understand totally. But the fact that I want you to catch is this, that Jesus physically appeared to his disciples. He was not a phantom. He wasn't a ghost. He was a real person. Remember what he said in St. Luke chapter 24? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Now all of this is comforting to know. And the Bible tells us that one day we shall be like Christ. If you want to get a good study of what you're going to be after your death, in the age to come, study the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. It's a very interesting study. But you and I are going to be endowed with bodies that are going to live forever. But the point we want to get across this morning is that the sepulcher was empty. He was not there. Listen again to Luke's descriptive words. But him they saw not. A sepulcher that was empty. Death had been defeated by the conquering Christ. So there you have two parts of Luke's account of the first Easter. They found what? They made a discovery of a lifetime. They found a stone that was removed, and they found a sepulcher that was empty. But best of all, and we close with this, they found a Savior who was alive. Read again those words found in verse 6, the words of the angels. He is not here, but he is risen. And later on, those disciples that were walking along the road to Emmaus, it says, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him. Now, the women who came to the sepulcher didn't recognize him immediately, but he did appear to them a little later. Mary saw him. Joanna saw him. The mother of James saw him. Peter and John saw him. That afternoon, he revealed himself to the two disciples walking along the Emmaus Road. They saw him. James saw him. 1 week later, Thomas saw him. And eventually, 500 of his disciples saw him at one time. They saw a Savior who was alive. What convincing proof. Christ is alive. Now that's the message that people desperately need to hear and they need to heed on this Sunday. What a pity it would be for some of you listening to my voice this morning and just go through the routine of knowing historically that Christ lived and never came to the realization that Christ lives today. But you have never accepted that fact. You've never experienced it in your own heart. As I said before, you know about it with your head, but not with your heart. Now that was different from the early disciples. It says they saw and they believed. And they had a personal encounter with the living Christ. The Apostle John speaks of it in these words in John 20, verse 20. Then when the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now you and I might not see the historical Jesus with human eyes, but we can see him by faith. Isn't that what Paul had in mind when he said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or listen to the words of Paul to the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's the key. Faith is that act by which one person, a sinner, commits himself to another person who's the Savior. That's faith. It's not difficult. You can understand it. But it's a transaction. It happens at a moment, at a place in time. Someone might ask, how do we know that Christ is alive? Well, by the external proof that I've just given you, for one thing. If you aren't prejudiced regarding truth, that in itself should convince you that Jesus is alive. But I want to tell you, we have internal proof even greater than that, that he dwells within our lives. He must be alive because he makes us alive. He must be a living person because he exerts a living power within the souls of those that have received him. You ask how we may know that Christ arose and lives? By his touch upon our souls. By his touch upon our souls. A touch that quickens. A touch that heals. A touch that transforms. A touch that makes old things die and new things come alive. That's how we know that he lives. Or you might not be able to prove it logically, like mathematics, 2 and 2 are 4. Someone asked Billy Graham once how he knew that Jesus was alive. And Billy said, because I spoke to him this morning. He's real. I ask you this morning in closing, what could you do that would more appropriately celebrate the Savior's resurrection this Easter than to give Christ your very life? And by that I mean confess to him your sinfulness and your need of forgiveness and peace. If you will do this, you, like many throughout the world will experience within your own heart, and you will make that great Easter discovery that Jesus Christ is alive and real and meaningful. Now look, I'm not talking about being a good husband or being a good wife. I'm not talking about going to church. They all have their place. I'm not talking about being christened, being baptized. I'm not even talking about niceness. I'm talking right now about newness. You're born once physically, and you have all been born physically. And Jesus comes along and he says, now, if you want to go to heaven and you want to be my disciple, you've got to be born spiritually. That's the second birth. I'm so glad this morning that I know exactly the time that I was born physically, but also the time that I was born spiritually. I can pinpoint it. I can know about it. And that's why I don't want any of you leaving the service this morning without, with clarity, Pastor Reg giving you the opportunity for you to understand. You've been born once physically, you've got to be born spiritually. See? Now you say, well, when can I do it? You can do it right now. As a matter of fact, it would be wonderful if we had 7 or 8 people just walk down the aisle and publicly dedicate their lives to Christ or receive Him as their Savior. But that takes a lot of courage. And in a small church, I can understand that it can be difficult. But as we sing that closing song in just a few moments, this is what you can do. You can bow your head and you can say something like this, O Christ, I've lived all of these years for self, and I don't know you personally, intimately. And this morning, I want to make the world's greatest discovery that you're alive, and I want you to become my Savior. And I want to accept you into my heart. And that's what we're talking about. And I hope every single person here this morning can say on the side of honesty, Pastor Reg, I've made that commitment. And that would be a glorious thing. I'm going to ask that we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear friends who have come to this service. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given us to preach, that Christ is risen indeed, and he lives forever. And we thank you, Lord, that we have accepted that fact. But our hearts go out this morning to those that do not know thee, or perhaps others, Lord, who have not been living for thee. And I just pray that you would speak. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm talking personally now to you. And it might be the last time that I might ever have this opportunity. And I'm just asking you, as a friend, as a pastor, as God's spokesman for the hour, would you ask Christ into your life? And if he's already in your life, will you live today from now on as though that he can give you the power to live for him victoriously? If that's your prayer this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, not going to embarrass you, but if there's anyone like that, would you just slip that hand up and say, Pastor Reg, I just want you to know that I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my risen Lord this morning. I see that hand. God bless you. Okay? Anyone else? You can put it down. Anyone else? Before we close. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for speaking to our hearts. We pray that you'll take the message and the music and make this a glorious day as we celebrate your resurrection. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.